Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we are thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Marlon De La Torre to the show. Now, Dr. De La Torre is an author, a writer, a speaker, and the Senior Director for Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Columbus. Needless to say, he sounds busy. He served the Catholic Church for over 30 years in a variety of roles in catechesis, education, and apologetic. And he served as a parish director for religious education, principal and superintendent of Catholic schools, and even the undersecretary for the pastoral provision for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. And so today, he's here to speak with us about a new book, Screwtape Letters and the Catechism, and how an authentic identity with Christ can only be lived and understood through redemptive suffering. And you could go to his great website, and I mean great. It's called knowingisdoing.org. Doesn't that sound like a great website?
It does.
And we went there and we checked him out, and knowing is doing is a beautiful thing, as is our faith.
Yeah.
If we say we know God, then there should be an authentic witness of knowing God in our life. We just can't give lip service. We have to serve and love and die to ourselves and live for Jesus in knowing and doing and imitating him.
I'd like to interview you. You're really something else, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm excited to have him.
I know, me too. And it's a great book. He'll share with us about the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, what the main theme was in that. But it was really dealing with the diabolical and how demons work and what their purpose is to get you off track with who God is, the natural law, God's desires for your life, and how they can distract. And Satan knows his mission and his goal, so he's not distracted at trying to keep you away from the Lord. His ultimate goal is to desire you into hell, if we even believe in hell these days in the church and outside of the church. But there really is a hell, and Jesus speaks about it a lot. We want to avoid that. And so this book will help you to avoid hell, to seek the Lord, to know the wiles of the devil. We don't know how evil is. That's what the Lord said to me when I was in the ministry. And sometimes I'd get shocked about what took place and some of the key people that were committed to me. We got your back, but they were stabbing me in the back. And I said, Lord, how does this happen? Every 3 or 4 years I get taken. And he says, you don't know how evil is. And I always have to know that. So through the teaching of C.S. Lewis, through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, through the great wealth that is deposited in the church, we need to apply ourselves, that we would be able to discern the things of God and the things of this world, the flesh, and the devil, and having done all, to stand. Mm. And so this is a book that will do that for you, for your children, for those that have a heart for evangelization, to share Jesus Christ, those who have a heart to share a good answer for the hope that is in you, to do it intelligently, to do it with respect. We'll be right back. It's going to be a great show. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Dr. Marlon De La Torre, and he is the author of Screwtape Letters and the Catechism. Did you even know a book like that existed? You could go out to his website, knowingisdoing.org. Well, we are thrilled to have you. We're excited about this beautiful conversation that we're going to have. But first we want, now you were on Father Mitch
a
long
back.
Time ago, 2011,
ago.
Yeah, time flies when we're having fun,
yeah.
But we want to give us an update.
Sure.
on your family and your life and what you're doing, and what inspired you to write this book on Screwtape Letters and the Catechism of the Catholic Church?
Well, 14 years ago, I think we had two children at the time. So Amy and I, now going on 29 years of marriage.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God for that. And we have two other blessed children, several in heaven, but we've had Maria and Gianna born as well. So that range in ages 26, 23, 20, and 11. So it's been a blessing to see our children grow, my wife and I grow and mature in the faith, and also our journey with the church. So it's been a joy. It's been a challenge, but we don't regret one bit of it. And we're just grateful to be able to share the Lord and share our love for Him and to move forward as best we can in our faith with Him.
Yes.
And I never thought 14 years ago I'd be with Father Mitch or be able to come back, but here we are again. Yeah. And I'm grateful to discuss my new version of Screwtape and the Catechism.
Perfect. Yes. So what inspired that? Where did it come from?
The origin was I was a high school principal and theology teacher. And my sophomore class had the Intro to Morality year. And I'm looking at my students and I'm seeing all this discombobulation of the faith. I'm seeing them struggle. And I'm trying to figure out, do they really need to listen to a course on moral theology? Mm. Is that going to be the best way for them to understand how to defend their faith, understand evil, vice, virtue, moral acts, sin of omission, all these things that come to a morality class? So one of my students said, why don't we learn something else? I was like, you know, it's a great idea. How about Screwtape Letters? Because he had read Screwtape. I said, let's do that. Why don't we just read Screwtape? He said, no, I got something better. I said, how would you guys like if you were given the weapons to really battle with the devil? Well, when you tell that to a group of sophomores, like, we're in.
Right.
Perfect. Wow. So I took that idea and we read Screwtape, but we said, guys, here's what I'm going to walk you through. We're going to look at every book in Screwtape Letters. We're going to analyze it, dissect it, dice it in the language that they can understand. But we're going to use the Catechism as a parallel. So every attack, every temptation he proposes, we're going to take the Catechism and counteract that. That's the antidote. Right. So that we can know for sure that this is an attack and that you're armed with the ability to not fall prey to that tactic. So we did that the entire year. We took every book. Either we did a week per chapter or 2 weeks per chapter, and that was the course for the whole year. By the end of the year, they knew the Catechism of the Catholic Church inside out. They understood temptation, commission, omission, sin, vice, virtue. They gained a love for confession. And also, in turn, they were literally asking their parents, begging them, will you go to confession with me? So it opened up a lot of doors for the students. And really, it was probably the best class I've ever taught because it opened their eye to the battle between good and evil. Hell exists. Hell is real. The devil is real. There was a fall. There is an original sin that does exist. So all these things really also strengthened their ability to understand why the church teaches these things, why it's important for us to aim for heaven.
Excellent. And you know, you empowered them with their faith. I mean, in a way, like you came in through the back door with moral theology of just saying, heaven is real, hell is real, and you, where do you see yourself going? Because in this life, if you aim for nothing, you're bound to hit it. And if you're thinking, I can get away with this, I can get away with this, and not know the root of our faith or the power of good and evil that's going on in their lives. What a great gift you
and
gave
he was
to them.
Very smart to use C.S. Lewis, because it wasn't just simply didactic teaching. He used a man that's like an incredible author, writer, different characters. The kids are like really interested in this. And so unpack for us just in a few moments the Screwtape Letters, the key characters in that, because you use them. And it's really about the diabolical and how it works. And yet it's not overly scary. It's cleverly done. So that it just brings great interest, especially to young people.
I think when you look at the structure of the original Screwtape, it's a dialogue. And a dialogue with an interplay. So you have the lead demon Screwtape, who's taken an understudy of Wormwood. And we have this gentleman called the Patient. The Patient is the key, I would say, the recipient of protagonism from Screwtape and Wormwood. And so what Screwtape is trying to engage Wormwood to do is this: slowly but surely convince the Patient that he has no need of anything divine, or what they call the enemy. So God is called the enemy in the book. And through a series of events, whether it is through family, girlfriend, relationship, war, because the background of this book was written World War II.
Yeah.
So we have this calamity of a war and people getting killed at that particular point in time. And so Lewis takes that backdrop and inserts it in several chapters of his book. But the premise is to convince the patient that he has no need of God, that he becomes his own precursor for anything that is good, and that he becomes the finality for anything that is good apart from God. And in that struggle, Lewis is masterful in saying, describing Screwtape as literally dictating to Wormwood, this is what you need to do. Wormwood's struggling because he is not well-versed in dealing with the enemy, as Screwtape would be. Mm-hmm. And so you have this battle between Screwtape and Wormwood, and then the patient ultimately striving towards something that is greater than what they propose.
Yeah.
And this becomes really the battle. Yeah. Every chapter is something distinctively different to try to convince the patient otherwise.
Are we the patient?
Yeah.
Because we're the patient.
We are.
And I can remember, I mean, you can go through these different chapters and what the seduction is and the twisting. I'm just thinking about the one on humility. Ugh. And Wormwood was kind of sharing, you know, like, this is a really humble guy. You know, he's really something like that. And Screwtape is saying, did you remind him to remind himself how humble he is?
Yes.
Something like that, you know?
Correct.
And that struck me as kind of, you start thinking how humble you are, you're losing humility.
Correct. It's because of something that's key in that particular chapter is, if you do a good towards someone, you should expect nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes part of that interpret regarding humility or their lack thereof. If we operate with the intention of, I will believe in you, God, but you give me something in return, I mean, that completely obliterates the whole premise of being deferential, sacrificial, carrying your cross, understanding what redemption means, because those things can get convoluted and you completely misconstrue the message. And this is really what we see happening.
Mm-hmm.
And for kids in particular, more for adults now with the second version of the book, it's a question of sanctity and piety does not mean that it's given to you.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean that it's earned either. It means you have to have a sacrificial understanding of what that means. And to defer to our Lord, not because you're enslaving yourself, no, you're realizing I can't function completely without someone who is divine that made me in his image and likeness. I have to be somewhat united with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
go ahead. Well, I was just going to share, you know, we run a pregnancy medical center, and my greatest enemy is deception.
Yes.
It's the spirit of deception coming in that door.
Yeah.
That we stay deceived, and that's just the way we are as patients, right? We really don't see it as it really is until God, in his mercy and grace and the spirit of truth, lifts that veil. And then we can see and we're like, oh, you are messing with me. You know, I get it. But we as a people of God have to know the word of God and we have to wake up to the reality, especially the power of the sacraments.
Yes.
And for sophomores to comprehend that,
and
otherwise we're saying to the Lord, late have I loved you. I mean, I didn't get this till later on.
Yeah.
So how does this book differ than the one you were referring to, which your focus was mainly young people in a class? What's the difference?
I think the original version was to help the parent, the student, the teacher really unpack Screwtape and really use the catechism as an actual teaching tool in the classroom. The reason being is the catechism at that particular point in time was merely viewed as a reference book, but actually it's a symphony of grace. It breathes life into the church because everything is based on tradition, scripture, magisterium. So when you have the beauty of that book, teachers may not have the wherewithal of how to unpack it, so that was the premise.
Yeah.
The second version is more in spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. It's directed towards the young adult, the adult. It could be used by the family as well, but to really unpack the particular attacks and how to really deal with them, how to handle them through prayer, how to use the catechism more effectively as a tool of prayer, not just as a source of doctrine, which it is, but really how to understand this progression of if you're falling into temptation, right, here's how you can walk out of it.
Yeah. I love, you know, your subtitle is, so people might say the Screwtape letters, they might not even know what that is, and the catechism, but you have recognizing temptation, battling sin, and growing in spiritual courage. That's where I think a lot of people would say, you know, I need that.
Amen.
My children need that. You know, I've been duped numerous times, and I guess it's good to to get burned and to remember what it feels like, mm-hmm. because just because you learn from something doesn't mean you're not going to get duped again.
Correct. And I think something we tend to forget through the battle between good and evil is whatever sin is hanging over you, whatever you've dove into, you have the opportunity for mercy. Mm-hmm. We have grace, we have justice, but we have redemptive suffering. The cross exists for a reason. You can't get to the resurrection without walking through the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. This becomes the progress of our life. So when you're dealing with sin and this battle between good and evil, or you fall into the susceptibility of something that is just not good, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you can't get out of it.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
mean you have to be completely enslaved to it. And this is what happens when you do. You have the sin of indifference, or it doesn't matter whether you're good and evil, I'm just a being. Mm. Well, if you do that, then you don't recognize you're created in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. That becomes part of the challenge, which really reflects everything mm-hmm. with your crisis pregnancy center. Mm-hmm. If they don't view themselves right. as a daughter of God, mm-hmm. what else do they have?
Right. We have to, it is a new evangelization
yeah.
of just to remind them who they are
yes.
and whose image and likeness they've been made in. Mm-hmm. You know, because the culture today is clueless from that.
Yes.
Here we are in 2025, mm-hmm. and people don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They don't know why God made them. They don't know their purpose.
Yeah.
They really don't know. And so we, as a people of God, just say, mm-hmm. game is on, and you need to be fully equipped mm-hmm. so that you could be kind.
Yeah.
You could be patient, you could be loving, mm-hmm. you could be merciful. Just some of these virtues, let
yeah.
alone the superpowers of virtues that we have to live in
right.
when the game is on.
I think when you look, there are several biblical paradigms you can compare this to. But I look at the Bread of Life discourse in John's Gospel, mm-hmm. chapter 6. When you start with verse 42 and following, there are seven declarations by our Lord. That he is the bread that came down from heaven, that whoever consumes or eats of me will have eternal life. And he knows that a swath of people will reject that mm-hmm. proposition. He knows that he continues to proclaim that, knowing that certain people, beginning with verse 66, they're going to walk away in droves. The persistence of that message is key, because it's mercy, it's love, it's justification. It's all those things wrapped into one, where the person who rejects it saying, I have no opportunity. Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
You have that opportunity. Kids will tell you, I have no opportunity for him to forgive me. I might as well just be indifferent mm-hmm. and submit to this. It's okay now.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes from being wrong to being bad, now it's okay.
Right.
And that's a deadly cocktail that a lot mm-hmm. of people I've seen walk into. So that's part of why I wrote this second version of the book, because of the indifference I encountered literally over the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that seems to be the spirit that's loosed at this time, this
yeah.
indifference and a laissez-faire kind of attitude mm-hmm. about, you know, what I can know, what I can't know, and you just kind of roll along.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is value. And I've seen that value basically disintegrate amongst
mm-hmm.
human beings,
mm-hmm.
Relationships, mm-hmm. whether you are trying to build a relationship with your wife, with your children, that as long as I am decent or semi-respectful, or that I'm just present. Present how?
Mm-hmm.
Present in prayer, present in sacrifice. Are you willing to offer yourself up for your spouse? So there has to be a clear distinction mm-hmm. in this path that is defined as Christianity. If it's not clearly defined with Christ at its core, then what is it? I mean, I could be a good person, but still not believe in Christ.
Right.
And so we try to address all those different elements in this book, because there's so much mm-hmm. within Screwtape. And again, this is the backdrop of the 1940s.
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about
right.
was happening back then,
mm-hmm.
absolutely applicable to today.
Man is still lost.
Man is still lost, absolutely.
Bring us, we got to go to a break.
Okay.
They're telling, I'm just kind of enthralled in what you're sharing. We're going to hold you over
okay.
for the final segment, and we want you to unpack the book
Amen.
And this teaching more fully, which is so very, very important. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation with Dr. Marlon De La Torre. Why is it that so many people in society, but as well within the church,
mm-hmm.
are not aware of this battle between good and evil that's going on?
because it's perceived as hard, or it's a nuisance, it can be cumbersome, or they're just completely have not been exposed to this notion that there is a battle between good and evil. You're told, be a good person, serve people with charity. That's about it in many respects. And so there's no personal disposition. How am I called to be sanctified? What am I supposed to offer myself up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So that language has changed. You have this preference to be positive, mm-hmm. right, praise God, be holy, maybe, or even be, all right, why don't you just help your brother need, but by what means? Mm-hmm. I can feed the poor, but if I don't lead them to the gospel, there's something missing. Both have to coincide. So this is part of that language and that formula that I think we tend to forget. If confession wasn't necessary, then we'd be hopefully differential in a good way, but it's necessary for a reason. We're limited mm-hmm. in our ability to reason. We need help with that. And if we don't see it in that capacity, then we can fall intimately into the sin of indifference, sin of despair, or be so positive it becomes toxic that you can't tell the difference between right and wrong.
Right. And you know, the Word of God tells us that we could do nothing. That means no thing.
Correct.
We could do nothing good apart from God.
Correct.
And so we need God. We're just not that nice. And we can't save ourselves. We're just not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to be a nice person.
Yeah.
But I needed to be saved from me. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know what I've been saved from, you know, then I just, have I been saved?
Yes.
First declaration to me when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was a Jersey girl and I had a real bad potty mouth.
Yeah.
And I needed to know that I could stop cursing. Was there power in this name of Jesus that he could save me from profanity?
Yeah.
And he did. And it was 1 o'clock that afternoon, and I was in New Jersey, and I hadn't said a profane word. And I started jumping around saying, Jesus is real, with all my Jewish clientele. Jesus is real. Jesus is real.
Yeah.
He's changing my life.
Yes.
But we have to see that. We have to have evidence of the power of him. But it means we have to exchange something.
Correct.
We have to give something up.
Doctor,
so that
just
can
give
come
us a
in.
Closing word as we're closing out. Your hope for the book.
I mean, my hope for the book is for anybody who reads it is to dive into prayer, to surrender yourself every morning, either for 30 minutes, 15, 20, an hour, and allow the Lord to speak with you in silence, first and foremost. That silence will be the key to opening up the gate to understanding your virtue, your identity with God, that you're a son, you're a daughter. And then from there, you'll be compelled to be with him. Mm-hmm. That would be my message.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank
God
you.
We have you for tomorrow to unpack this more fully. So we'll continue that conversation tomorrow. The Screwtape Letters and the Catechism, recognizing temptation, battling sin, and growing in spiritual courage. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And this book will be a great resource to help you along that way. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Bye now.